Hello and welcome back. This is the 10th Shiur, the 10th class, in the 39 prohibited categories of created labor, also known as our Shabbat crash course. Today we'll be looking at two of the melachot, two of the forms of creative labor that are forbidden on Shabbat. They are writing and erasing. Now, up until now, we have finished three sections of the four sections of the Mishnah that includes within it all 39 melachot, 39 forms of creative labor that are forbidden to do on Shabbat. The first three sections, if you recall, the first one was the order of baking bread, the whole process from the planting into the ground of a seed all the way through to the actual baking of bread. And again, as we mentioned a number of times, the reason for the various different melachot, or the different orders in connection to all of these things, these are the things that were done in the creation of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and therefore we learn, all the process involved for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle, we learn from there what it is we, in fact, we cannot do on Shabbat because of the proximity of the laws of creating the Mishkan to the decree of us guarding and following the Shabbat. So now, the second one after that was the order of making garments, and that had to do with the setting up of the various, again, different curtains and so forth. Follow that was the order of making leather, that had to do with preparing the hides, of the tahash, the unicorn-like animal that was used to create the multicolored hides that would then be placed over the inner parts of the Mishkan, where the Holy Holy was, and so forth and so on. Now, tonight we are going to begin the fourth section which discusses the laws of construction, actual building. So where then do these two melachot, writing and erasing, fit into that big picture? Well, it fits in like this. When they were going to be putting together the Mishkan, it was a structure that would be moved frequently. So therefore, every time they needed to move it, they needed to put it back up, and all the pieces need to match. So what would happen is you would write down little simanim, little tiny notes or symbols on each of the pieces to know where they connect. A goes to B, B goes to C, so forth and so on, and this way they could all connect. Some of the poskim, some of the rabbis who explain the halakha, explain that it was also in order to write down the various accountings, in other words, the amount of money that came in, the various different donations and so forth and so forth and so on. That was all part of it. In fact, if you think about it, writing and erasing is a big part of that. Okay, let's begin the first of the two melachot, Hakotev Shtei Otiyot, in the language of the Mishnah, writing two letters. What does this category entail? It is the creating of any symbol with meaning. As we said many times, these are categories. In other words, when we say writing two letters, it's names of categories. And this category specifically is talking about the writing of any symbols that have meaning. That means to say it doesn't only have to be a letter which is recognizable to us as the ABCs or the alphabet. It could, for that matter, be Chinese or any other language, even if we don't understand or recognize the language, not only us, but anybody else in our vicinity. But it also includes making any kind of markings that would have understanding to other people. So if a person was to go ahead and make a check mark or something else like that, a square, a triangle, or any other symbol, they all would be included in this. So let's begin the do's, as we generally like to do. What can you do? Well, you can use sign language. There's not a problem to go ahead and put your hands up in the air and symbolically sign out words, or for that matter, even letters. In fact, even to go ahead and write letters in the air, in other words, to go ahead and symbolically make an A, a B, a C, whatever else, in the air, just kind of skywriting, is not a problem. And in fact, a person would even be allowed to do the same sort of thing, again, like writing on the table with his finger, provided, of course, he doesn't actually create letters, meaning there isn't sand there or something else that will get pushed along to the sides and then begin to form the symbols, which would be forbidden. So, in terms of things that are forbidden, as we just said, it includes things that, such as symbols and other meanings and stuff like that. So, photographs, meaning pictures and things like that, would also be included in this. Again, any sort of picture, drawing, or any sketch, or anything that has any meaning. But nevertheless, what you don't have to worry about is if someone happens to take a photo of you. For example, you're just happen to be walking down the street with your nice little son, and he's got his peyote and his coat on, and you've got everything, and you're walking, everything's wonderful, and somebody jumps out of their car and takes a couple snapshots and basically making you feel like a tourist or some strange thing out of a strange world as you're walking to the Bet Knesset on Shabbat. You don't have to worry that you violated anything, and this, in fact, has occurred. Play regular Scrabble. See, incidentally, in terms of writing, writing has to do with the actual forming of symbols or sticking together of letters or symbols in order to form a bigger or larger symbol. But in this case, if you're talking about playing regular Scrabble where you're just laying down tiles, or similarly if you were laying down cards that had letters on them or anything else like that, that would not be a problem per se. But you see, playing regular Scrabble, and in fact any game for that matter, where during the week you regularly score that game, and you pull out your little pencil and pad and you start writing down the scores for those games, then when it came Shabbat, you would not be allowed to play those games because of a rabbinical decree that by you doing this, meaning by you going ahead and playing this game on Shabbat, you might, by mistake, come to write down your scores, and therefore there's a rabbinical decree against this. But if you're the sort of person that plays Scrabble during the week without taking score, then on Shabbat would not be a problem. All of this, of course, is talking about playing the regular Scrabble, and we'll talk about in the don'ts about the problems with playing deluxe Scrabble, meaning the ones that have a little plastic frame that you fit the letters into. Also, for that matter, even though we're talking about, again, putting together different letters and so forth and so on, in terms of sticking being an issue, but what isn't an issue is if you have one of those little rotary locks, say like on a attaché case or a little suitcase or something like that, where you wheel the combinations into play, you know, 3, 4, 2, and then you're able to open up that lock, then, again, this is not going to be a problem. The fact that there is meaning now, that the three-number combination has meaning, meaning something, it's a key to open up your attaché case. Nevertheless, though, it isn't actually being permanently stuck there or held down there in any way. It's just being turned to the right place, and the Chachamim have told us that this is permissible. Something else that people may not realize is that walking on snow with shoes that emboss letter marks on the ground, you might think that that's not permissible. If you happen to be jumping around the field everywhere you go and leaving imprints that say Nike, Nike, or Adidas, or whatever else have you, whatever the brands of the day are, that's not an issue. Of course, provided that you're not actually intentionally sticking your foot in the ground in order to leave behind a symbol or something like that, but if the fact is you don't want this to happen, you could care less if it happens. On most surfaces, it's not even necessarily going to happen for sure. And various other reasons that come together that make it permissible for us to walk around, even on snow or on loose ground or not, you know, somewhat sticky ground, where it will leave an impression, and that's not a problem. Again, if provided, of course, you're not actually doing it intentionally. If you happen to have a child and he has a happy face on the bottom of his shoe and he wants to go stamp it everywhere and show everybody the happy faces, that would not be permitted. Well, what can't you do? Well, as you can guess by the name of this particular melacha, meaning creative labor which is forbidden on Shabbat, writing letters or symbols. So if you're going to be writing any letters or symbols, that's forbidden. It doesn't matter if those symbols are being written on a permanent or non-permanent basis. While this may make a difference as far as rabbinical or Torah law, for the purposes of this crash course, we haven't made real distinctions on most melachot, on most of the creative labors, and in fact, it's not prohibitive. It's prohibited, meaning it's not allowed, meaning you wouldn't be allowed to write something which would not have a permanence. So, for example, writing with icing on a cake, or whipped cream that might, even especially those, you know, cheap Parv whipped creams that seem to just sort of fizzle out over a little while. And in any of these cases, it wouldn't make a difference. They are forbidden. You're not allowed to do that. You're also not allowed to erase to form letters or symbols. So it's not just necessarily laying down ink that's a problem. It's even the removing of ink to do so. So, for example, if you went ahead and you had like a piece of construction paper and you pulled out an eraser and you started erasing into the paper various lines and whatever else have you, in other words, you know, this, that, again, making symbols and lines, that still is forbidden and not allowed. You can't sculpt letters or symbols either. That means to say that taking clay and making it into symbolic shapes or anything else is definitely not allowed. Now, in general, you sculpting and everything else like that, even any sort of pictures or anything, is also not allowed. Meaning anything, and of course we talked about that this may actually violate a number of other laws as well. For example, the laws of Lash, kneading, and again, numerous different laws can be violated along this case. But for that matter, a person would not even be allowed to go ahead and to, again, sculpt, you know, in other words, to take water and sort of drip it into pictures or into symbols or anything else like that, or drop sand or anything else. In other words, all of these types of situations cannot be forbidden. You can't sketch a picture, same thing as we said before, it doesn't matter the medium even. It doesn't matter if you're adding ink or subtracting ink. Certainly you couldn't take a little knife and widget out something. You cannot create puzzles on Shabbat with interlocking pieces that have symbols on them. What happens is you're fixing together smaller symbols to form a larger symbol, or smaller pictures to form a larger picture. And when they interlock, that makes it forbidden. You also, for that matter, because again, once you're starting to stick stuff up, it becomes an issue, so you can't take letters that are stickers and stick them. In other words, stick them together one after another. Now, if you happen to take alphabets, alphabet cereal or something like that, you have to lay them out, in other words, in your spoon to make the word that you want or something like that, that's not a prohibition. But if you were to take those same alphabets and stick them onto a cake, per se, that would be prohibited, because again, now you fix them together as a symbol, in other words, by sticking them one after another, and then it becomes prohibited. We talked about already before, you can't play deluxe Scrabble, and it's the same basic concept. The letters go ahead and lock into place. Of course, Scrabble in general, as we said before, may or may not be prohibited to you personally based on how you play the game during the week, since there is a rabbinical prohibition against making use of the playing any sort of games or anything that during the week you normally write down scores. Now, you can't write even on your skin. Now, the fact you might think that since you're writing on your skin, and it's as well known, your skin sheds and eventually it disappears, or the process of washing and things like that, eventually it gets erased anyway. So again, it doesn't matter the fact that it's temporary, and it doesn't matter where you write, on what medium you write, writing is writing and it is prohibited. What's also interesting is that you cannot make letters, even when you're putting together little tiny chips or something like that. Let's give me a picture. We talked about the idea that if you just laid down, you know, alphabet cereal, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that this wouldn't create a problem if you're just laying it down on a table and it's not stuck. But you could potentially come up with a problem with putting little pieces of cereal or anything else for that matter in some sort of symbolic pattern. Meaning if you create a letter, in other words, by going ahead and laying out all the little pieces to form a letter, that actual creation of a letter along those lines is not permitted. And of course, as we said before, taking photos is prohibited. So moving on to the next malacha for this evening, v'hamochek al manat lichtov shtei atiyot. So in the language of the Mishnah, erasing in order to write two letters. What is this? It's the erasing of any symbol with meaning. Now, as the name of this particular category implies, to truly be under the Torah prohibition, the erasing has to be for some creative purpose. As we said before, it is the creative labors of Shabbat. In other words, what is prohibited on Shabbat is creation. Therefore, the erasing would have some sort of creative purpose. In this case, it's erasing in order to be able to write afterwards. So today, for example, if you've written something on a piece of paper and you had a pencil and you didn't like it, you erased it with a pencil, you often do that in order to be able to then specifically go ahead and now write onto that paper. And therefore, that's prohibited. And that's prohibited from the Torah. But actually, erasing of any nature is going to be prohibited. So let's go on to the do's. Cut or eat a cake in the shape of a letter. If you happen to have a cake, or let's say, one of these tea biscuits that happens to have in it embossed some letters, or the actual cake or cookie is in the full term shape of an actual letter, you are able to go ahead and take that and chew on it, eat it, and everything else. And the fact that you're destroying the letter in the process of eating is not a problem. What though you can't do, is, according to some, in fact, a majority of Ashkenazi poskim, but not all, is that you cannot cut the letters that are written onto a cake, meaning those letters serve for the purpose of communication and are not necessarily just there as food, or for that matter, you know, again, any sort of thing which would have this sort of, again, meaning that's there. So going ahead and cutting that is a problem, according to many Ashkenazic poskim. For Sfardim, this is not a problem, and it's not an issue for them to cut it. But for those people that would fall under this category, and therefore Ashkenazim is proper to be machmir, to be particularly strict in this matter, and not cut letters. What can you do then? Well, what you can do is you can go ahead and surgically lift off the letters, taking out part of the icing, or for that matter, even directly grabbing onto the letters and somehow, if that can be done, to pull them off. Very often, a lot of kosher bakeries, recognizing this particular issue and the fact that it can come up, they often go ahead and they write the letters and put icing, and then they write the letters in the icing, but underneath all that, they put some wax paper that lets you just lift everything off, and that will be fine. But also, what you can do is slice in between the letters in order to be able to cut the cake. The fact is, it's okay to cut through a word, it's not okay to cut through a letter. So for that matter, when a person's opening packages, and we've come across that a number of times before this, again, you'd be able to open up a package, but you can't cut through the letters that are on the packaging. So you cut around it somehow or another, or you open it in a way that you wouldn't be damaging the letters. But if you actually cut through, in other words, a word, but it didn't, not destroying the letters, that would be fine. In all cases, you can always eat letters in one shot. So if you went ahead and you cut the cake up in such a way that the letters that were on top of the cake, in other words, on the icing, were sitting there, and you grabbed that piece of cake and you just shoved it in your mouth with all the letters at one shot, and you went ahead and chewed it up and ate it, that's all fine. So eating the letters is not going to be an issue. Another thing that works out to be all right, provided if you don't have any other book like this, is if you happen to have a book that has writing on the side of the book, you know, talking about where the pages are, so that when you would open up the book, it would actually end up separating the word and forming two halves, and in a sense, sort of temporarily erasing the words. So again, if you have another book available to use, it's certainly in an ideal situation, you should use that book, but if there is no other book, you would be allowed to go ahead and open that book. Now, if you wanted to be particularly strict and you wanted to solve this issue in advance, you could always stick some paper or something else into the middle of the book, and this way you would end up cross-sectioning all the words in advance, and therefore your opening doesn't do any worse damage than what was already in existence before. Well, what can't we do? Well, as we said, erasing in any real way is going to be a problem, using erasers or anything else like that. But even using whiteout is a problem. Be it the type of chemical whiteout that goes ahead and that paints over letters and actually has some chemicals in it that will actually fuse into the paper and does actually cause some distortion in the ink underneath, or for that matter, the type that's like a correction tape that just sticks right over the letters. Both of those are not permissible to be used on Shabbat. Wiping a chalkboard, again, certainly this could be understood to be a temporary type of writing, would not matter. It's still prohibited. Same thing goes for ink boards or anything else like that. What also is not allowed is, let's say you have writing, you couldn't take a big, thick black marker or anything else like that and go ahead and just blot it out. Blotting out is still going to be not permitted. Now, if a person had gone ahead and they've written on their hands or on their skin someplace or something like that, and they're concerned, of course, now about washing their hands and stuff like that, it can be an issue. So certainly writing on your skin in general is not a real positive thing. But here's the thing. If you've gone ahead and you wrote on your skin with some sort of regular ink, that if you were normal washing or normal acts of rubbing or anything else that you did wouldn't actually cause the ink to rub away completely, perhaps it might fade a little bit, but didn't rub away completely, then it wouldn't be a problem to do nitel yadayim when it's washing your hands for bread or any of the other things that you need to do on Shabbat. Of course, if the ink would be the type that would, and as soon as you put water on it or rubbed it, it would completely come off, now you're in a bit of a bind, and that's a real problem. So, and in fact, for that, even the type that dulls, you couldn't really make a real serious effort to go ahead and to again try and rub out those letters. So erasing off your hands is just as bad as anything else. Now, in addition to that, what is not allowed is to say shake an etch-a-sketch. Beforehand, perhaps we should have mentioned it, that writing, you can't write on an Etch-a-Sketch, you can't write on a magic slate, you can't write, you can't even play those little games with the little metal filings that you take them and you put the hair or the beard on the man or the woman and that sort of thing. So also just the reverse, erasing those type of games, such as erasing an Etch-a-Sketch or pulling the little plastic sheet up on the magic slate, or going ahead and shaking and removing all the metal filings that make the hair or the beard and stuff on these type of games, all those things are forbidden on Shabbat. So with that, I would like to wish everyone that the merit of constantly working towards keeping Shabbat, towards advancing in our service of God, day by day, and particularly on every Shabbat, should bring about the merit to see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'Mehirah Bimenu. Amen.